So, various verses from Psalm 139, which is on page 628. I nearly forgot. Okay. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. But even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. And on to verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And on to 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Lord Jesus, you spoke to the multitudes and you spoke to the solitary individual. Come this morning, speak to our hearts, tell us your word, for we ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a week, as I said before. And there is a lot of darkness about. You just need to look at some of the folk who've come on the telly. Some mums out shopping, and they're saying, I don't know how much. They approach a till with fear and trepidation. Have I got enough? I've been hearing this week of places, folk on the tills, who tell us that folk sometimes have so much and have to take stuff out and put it to one side because they can't afford to live. The darkness of fear, of uncertainty, of instability. And we think to ourselves, what is happening to us? And yesterday, I don't know if you noted in your teletext, one of the worldwide financiers has written this country down to the worst place it has ever been in. Our credibility as a nation to pay the national debt. There are dark days ahead of us. We know this isn't the end, and we've got to face it in reality. And what has God got to say for us? That's our dilemma. I think as you go around many of the churches and listen to them, and it's far and wide, my brother in Scotland, same thing they'll tell us. The church is uncertain what God is saying to them. They are seeking to find out his will for us at this. What does he want us to do? What are we doing? He knows all about it. This is God's time as well, but it's also our time. And there was Moses. Let's go back to Moses. He's got these magnificent commandments. And God says, I want to speak to you, Moses. Where are you, God? He approached, I love that translation, the thickening darkness. The thickening darkness. And that's a problem for us, isn't it? Because what do we sing? Jesus is my light. The light of the world is Jesus. And we think, wait a minute, it says God's in the darkness and God's light. There is no darkness in him at all. And it's almost there's two opposites at work all the time. And the Bible tells us that in him there is no darkness. We sing, shine, Jesus, shine. God and darkness. Where does it all start? You go back to the very beginning of the Bible. It says God made, the earth was in void, and God made the earth and the heavens. And do you know the first thing he made after that? He split the world into light and darkness. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. God created light, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. And that's where it started. He didn't get rid of the darkness. And the strange thing is, if we had to have a show of hands today and say, who prefers the light to the darkness? The hands would go up. Yeah, I can see he's doing it now. Who prefers it? Come on, let's have a show. Who prefers the light or the darkness? The light, that's it, and the darkness. No takers for the darkness. Well, that solved that problem. We sorted that out right away. And that's true. We don't like the darkness. And when we get the other songs, it's good. Remember Morecambe and Wise. Bring me sunshine. Remember? We all like it. We love living in the light. But the problem is the darkness is there. And we've got to accept its presence. It's part of life. And don't we know about it? What happens next Sunday? The clocks. Is it, do they go back or forward? I always get that wrong. Forward. Lovely. Thank you. Backward. Well, I'm glad we got that sorted out. It happens, doesn't it? But you know, when you think about it, then it'll be dark, 4, 5-ish. And when will it be light the next morning? 8 o'clock. That's about 16 hours later after it gets dark. So in other words, 2/3 of our day for 5 months of the year, it's dark. It's incredible. And so we have to take it into contention. But you know, Jesus loved taking parables from the natural world. And there are things that we do. I didn't know if there was going to be anybody here this morning. If there was, I would have brought along a packet of seeds. We get a packet of seeds, you know, and the seeds are all there. They're all in their packet. It's all in the dark. And what do? We get the thing with, and we fill it with compost, dark as you could want, and we get the seeds, and we plant them in the dark. Even the bulbs, 4 inches it says. Oh, you can't just put them on top. You put them 4 inches deep. And what do? After you cover them all back up. And for a lot of folk, they put them in a cupboard, or we put them in a shed, out of the we put them in the darkness. Why? Because we want flowers next summer. So the darkness, you've got to contend with it. It is part of life. And the process, thank God, when we do our planting, it brings us something beautiful in the light. Darkness also brings us problems, especially when we have to search for life to see what we are. As darkness often, it distorts. It hides us from the things in front of us. Thank God for in the light in the car, and you can put the lights up and see where you're going. But you know, it's not all one-way traffic. You know, the one reason that we can't see the universe in all its glory It's light pollution. If you're living away up north of Scotland, oh boy, did you see the lights last night? Oh, what a picture it was in Scotland last night, of in the north of Scotland, the northern lights. But you can only see that when there's an absence of light. Light and darkness, they are so important. And what does we sing? Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. We can't see because of the light. The darkness is there. And it tells us the chosen people did not go near the dark mountain because they feared it. But one man didn't fear it, and that was Moses. And he went in to the thick darkness where God was. Why? Why? Because, you know, we were all face darkness in life. Now, there's going to be times, and if you think you're not going to face darkness, well, I think you're going to be very, very fortunate. The darkness of losing a lifetime partner or a friend, or what COVID has done for so many in our population. Tragedies and events that happen to us many times and often when we least expect it. Redundancy. How will the bills get paid this time? Or as we are finding, as health deteriorates. And for the first time in our life, we cannot do what was common practice to us all. We'd love to do it, but we can't. I was terribly jealous this morning of a young girl on the telly. She has climbed every Monroe in Scotland. I've done a few. I've done Ben Nevis. She has climbed every mountain above 3,000 feet in Scotland. She's 10 years old. 10 years old. And her father has taken her. He's it. They come from Inverness. Do you wish that you could turn the clock back to those days where you could run and jump and doing all the things that you didn't have to bother? Some folks say, yes, why do we go to the Sea Cadets? Because I don't hear about hip replacements and bad knees. Don't hear about them for the kids. And we'd like to do it, but we can't. We know it. We know it. We used to be able to do it, but we can't do it. There are times, and where do we have to go in the times of darkness when we get our difficulties? God is always there, you know. He's always there. Jesus continually, for by all his teaching, he continually put time aside to deal with those in the darkness of life's sorrows. He healed the blind, the lame, the halt, those who had terrible problems, who had diseases. Jesus was there, the one who in the darkness of physical problems, he brought light because he was healed them and he could touch them. Remember too, and it's also very good to remember as we sit in our congregation this morning, we don't know each other, do we? We never know what each other is going through. We don't, you know. And I'm always conscious. Now, I love singing bright, lovely songs, but I sometimes have to remember that sometimes folk come through that door and it's no bright, glad, clappy songs as we sing in the army at times. They want the comfort of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. One of our songs says this: days of darkness still come over, sorrow's path I often tread. And what's the darkness of our spiritual lives, of temptation, of failure, of rejection, and disregard of his ways? Oh, we can all do it. We've been in that place. the inner struggles. What was it that Paul says? The good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the things I don't want to do, I do it, Lord. Oh, St. Paul was so totally honest with us. Dear friends, the more you read the Bible, the more you read that we are not alone. We are not unique. It isn't happening only to us. Fellow believers, we tread the path of the pilgrimage of others day after day. And God knows too that we can use the darkness. The story of our first parents said it all. I think it's a lovely story. Sad story, but it's a lovely story. There they disobeyed God, and the Bible tells us they're in the Garden of Eden, this wonderful garden, and they did something wrong, and what did they go and do? They went and tried to hide from God. That's what they did. They tried to hide from God. They hid. It's like David, the king. When Nathan says to him, there's somebody done that, David was absolutely livid. And Nathan says, David, I'm talking about you. You got Uriah killed because you wanted Bathsheba. He tried to hide it, but he couldn't do it. You see, God knows us. God knows our lives. You can't do or think or speak about God behind his back. All is known to him. All is known to him. He alone knows the recesses of our heart and mind. We can even use the dark and try to do it, but make no mistake, in our dark places as well, he is always there. But you know, our biggest problem with the darkness, and here's the flip side of it all. I hope today you don't think I've been very morbid. I don't mean to be. But there is a flip side of it all. And the flip side is this. Our biggest problem with the darkness of living is this. Is the lack of awareness that we have and the knowledge that God is with us and he is there all the time. His presence is guaranteed in every step we take. Whatever happens, wherever we are, God is there. Andy read the Bible from David. Don't waste your time trying to hide from God. That's an age-old carry-on, and it doesn't work. Here's what he says. If I go up to the heavens, God is there. If I go to the depths, God is there. Wherever I go, he is there. Surely, if I say, the darkness will hide me, even the darkness, Lord, will not be dark to you. For darkness is as light to you. He knows where we are and what we are going through, and truly God wants to help us all the time. And it's especially true when we need to come and ask his forgiveness or his love or his compassion or his strength or his comfort. It's guaranteed for you. For he is our God, and he has promised he will never, never, never forsake you. We sing an army song. I want to quote this to you. And what if strength should fail and heart more deeply bleed? Of what if dark and lonely days bring forth that cry of need? Do you know what the next line is? That cry will bring thee down, my needy soul to fill. God's promised provision for his people. God cares about us when we are at our best, and dear friends, make no mistake of it. In his mercy, he cares about us and he loves us at our very worst. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. We need to ask God to make us aware of him in our lives. It is hard. It is hard sometimes in this world. We have so much clamoring in at us. So much. Do you ever get the thing you start out after a weekend, after you've been to church, and suddenly you think, good grief, it's Friday. We live at a pace that is gathering all the time, and so many demands come in on us. Be careful that we don't squeeze God out. And sometimes it's difficult to become aware of him. If you wonder about that and think, that's a bit strong saying, just read your Bible. 12 disciples, they walked with him for 3 whole years. Day and night, they were in his presence. But how at times they didn't understand. They ate with him, they slept with everything they did. And sometimes you think, have you learned nothing, disciples? From start to finish at times, they were unaware of his presence. And we are called to be that presence. We are called to be aware that God is with us. We are called to be aware whom we are called to serve. God didn't just make his church to have a nice thing. He did it for a purpose. And the purpose, if you want to listen to Jesus, Jesus said this word. Difficult in this day and age, maybe. Jesus said, I have come not to be served. I have come to serve and to give my life. The church is there to serve the world that we live in. That's our purpose. We're there to serve. And sometimes we can lose a fight of that. William Booth founded the Salvation Army. And one day, he was in Westminster. And his son, Bramwell, he was 11. And he was talking to him, perhaps a bit grown up for him. And he was talking about God's people and the people of the Salvation Army. And little Bramwell said to him, Father, who are our people? Which people are our people? William Booth said, come here. Took his son's hand. Took him to the Gin Palace in the East End of London, opened the door, and there they were, the drunken, the fallen, the filthy, the despised, the inebriated. And William Booth said to Bramwell, these are our people. Our people. God is not to be found only in church, chapel, not only there. Jesus was labeled, what did they call Jesus? He got a label. The friend of sinners. It's a big step from sometimes what we think of the righteous and the clever. And the friend of sinners. Because of the places and they went and the people he associated with. And what did he do? He shed light in their darkness and showed them what could become of them. I'm sure you've all known darkness in the past. And we think for the days, they know the church, if you're honest about it. It's a sad thing I've got to say. We're getting old. We're not unusual. We're getting old. We all know it. And we think, what's ahead of us? What's ahead of us? Remember, it's God's church, not ours. And we wonder. David did. And what did he say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's the darkness. But here comes a shout of certainty. I will fear no evil, for even there in the darkness, thou, the risen Christ, you are with me. Moses went into the thick darkness where God was. Jesus comes to us in the darkness that we will encounter somewhere along the line, whether it is in living our days in our country just now, or the darkness sometimes inside of us. I'm going to finish, and you will forgive me for quoting Salvation Army songs, but I'm going to finish with one. A man called Stanley Dittmer, he is an American. He says this: I'm in his hands. I'm in his hands. Whatever the future holds, I'm in his hands. The days I cannot see have all been planned for me. His way is best, you see. I'm in his hands. God is not behind us. God is not way there in front of us. Living Lord, he is beside us, walking every day, day by day, step by step, along the way that we must walk. Let's just have a moment of prayer and quiet reflection. Father God, we simply ask this morning that you will bless our land, bless our people, bless your church, and make us what you want us to be. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen.